For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of experience. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm afraid it's politics all the way to 12 o'clock because Ivan is filling in for Pat. And I have three very all-knowing people about politics. We have Roisin Shortall, who is the longest-serving female TD in the Dáil, but won't be there this time next year. She's been a TD for Dublin North West, a former Labour junior minister and, of course, Social Democrats founder and still their spokesperson on health and finance and all that good stuff. Jim O'Callaghan is a Fianna Fáil TD for Dublin Bay South. He's also a senior barrister and is the party's justice spokesperson. And I'm sure he's absolutely delighted to hear that my sources say that Michael McDougall will be running and that Kate O'Connell will be added, as if his life wasn't difficult enough. And making sense of it all, of course, is the awfully man who keeps, now that he's a parent, telling us all about his small children, Kevin Doyle, executive editor, no less, with the Irish Independent. You're all indeed welcome. Let's just, I was talking to Stuart Clark there, the music man, about the dynamic pricing system for the two Croke Park concerts, and people saying, look, list price 80, you had to pay 400. He's now saying on Done Deal it's about 1,000 for retailing these tickets now. I thought, first of all, what is everyone getting their knickers in a knot for? First world problem, you know, you don't have to go. But there does seem to be a consumer issue. You have new legislation on this.
That's right, Ivan. Like, consumer protection in Ireland is generally very strong. You can't get involved in misleading business practices or unfair business practices. And 2 years ago, we introduced and enacted legislation about the sale of tickets. But there's something fundamentally unfair and lacking in transparency if people go onto a website, they're attracted into it on the basis that tickets will be from €89 upwards. And then at the end of the process, after a number of hours, they're told that you can take it or leave it for €415. So what we've sought to do is to extend the protections covered by the Sale of Tickets Act that was enacted, as I say, back in 2021. And what it would do is would prohibit the sale of tickets by dynamic pricing, which is the adjustment of a price based on the application of an algorithm that takes into account current market trends, the demand, performer popularity, issues like that. So we've put the bill forward, myself, Timmy Dooley and Niamh Smith, and we're hopeful that the government will adopt it.
But is there not a watchdog in place? Because I remember in 21 with Noel, with the issue was touts, right?
Yeah.
And people, but I mean, you've all sorts, like, so, say I'm going with my wife, I might buy four tickets, flip the two other tickets and get free tickets. Like, how do you control? And secondly, can we find out how many tickets were sold at the list price?
I don't think we can. I'm sure there's some issue about that in terms of that'll be kept subject to commercial sensitivity. But what we are entitled to know is that if we're going on to buy something, we're entitled to know what's the price of the ticket that we're going to end up buying. And it's different to situations where airlines put up their prices because there's a match on in Paris or something like that. You know when you start the process that the flight has gone up. Here what happens is the adjustment is happening in real time. And the change to the price, the adjustment to the price, happens after the sale process commences. And particularly for the sale of tickets for entertainment events, there's a small window within which you have the opportunity to bid on them. So it's a fundamental unfairness, we think.
Roisin Shortall, what's your take on this?
I think it's completely unfair. It's a complete rip-off, I think, of fans who follow different artists. And I think it has to stop. Now, you know, the understanding was that the legislation 2 years ago would, or a couple of years ago, would address this. It was to deal with touting, as you say. But you now have Ticketmaster touting. And that has to be stopped. So I think that can probably be done by an amendment to the existing legislation. But either way, it needs to be dealt with by way of legislation. And, you know, Oasis now realising that they're implicated in this and their reputation is damaged further even, you know, are putting on these two extra gigs in London or somewhere in the UK. Mm. But that's not good enough. I mean, the artists have to take responsibility for this as well, because they're coining it also. And it is a consumer matter and it needs to be outlawed as quickly as possible, in my view.
This doesn't, of course, affect you, Kevin, because you're too young to remember Oasis. But the thing that I found interesting is this. I've heard politicians all over this, but the people whose day job is to deal with this is the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. I haven't heard a lot from them, who are paid full time to look after this type of issue.
No, well, first of all, to counteract your point on the young, I'll tell you how young I am, right? I won an Oasis CD on the Den back in the day. It was probably the first CD I ever had was Oasis. And do you remember the big Discmans?
Yeah,
a Discman and an Oasis
CD. I now work with Aidan Power on the podcast. that's amazing. Right. OK. But you're only four at that stage.
I was very good at TV quizzes, age four. So I have an Oasis affinity and I went down the rabbit hole and I lost 2 or 3 hours of last Saturday morning trying to get tickets and didn't get tickets. And so I share all the outrage and I admire that Jim and
Would
Timmy
you have paid $400?
No, I don't think you could justify that, to be honest. I'd have paid maybe 150.
Okay.
But I think once you get up into 400, like, you know, you're getting your hotel and your steak
dinner.
If you're
any type of senior journalist, you get in one of the boxes. I can arrange it through Peter McKenna. There won't be a problem.
We'll talk after the show, Ivan.
Great wine in those boxes.
I'm not ruling out going yet if the opportunity arises.
But so what's your take on it?
Well, two things, I suppose. I admire Jim and Timmy and the guys are trying to do something about it. But at this stage in the current Dáil life cycle, I think you might as well send a tweet as bring forward a private members bill on something like this. Because
it's too late, this is never going to get through committee. Look, the All Blacks are playing in town. What's to stop the IRFU for doing this for a packed out Aviva, you know?
Oh, no, I agree with the idea. I just think it's not going to, if it gives people hope that this is going to happen anytime soon, it's not. This is going to happen for next summer's concerts and all the rest. To the consumer watchdog, initially came out and kind of was like, well, sure, they did what they did and there's nothing against it. And then there was murmurings in the UK and the UK set up an inquiry and the politicians and Simon Harris, of course, went on the populist drumbeat getting behind this. He'll probably end up picking Oasis as one of his campaign songs, given the popularity. And now the consumer watchdog is interested in it and looking at it. It's kind of cruel. And I mean, Roisin says Oasis have taken the hit on this. Liam Gallagher is out doing a Q&A thing a little earlier there. They don't give a toss, Roisin. They've made millions out of this. He told one fan online earlier to shut up after they complained about the ticket prices.
That's his style, is it?
And someone else asked what his mother Peggy thought about the reunion. And he replied, she's gutted. She couldn't get a ticket. So they don't care. They don't care at all.
All right.
The two concerts were a token, you know, in terms of
what
their reputation.
What I find people do care about, I was actually not only not surprised by the huge text response when I was just ad-libbing talking about the bike thing, the bike shelter, but I haven't seen an issue all for even throughout the elections that caught people's ire as quickly as this 336 grand. The type of feeling is that it's public money and it doesn't matter. No explanation of whether this was the price and it overran like the children's hospital. No explanation of who the contractor is, what the competitive process was. Most places you pick up a rent a bike don't have a shelter on it. What's wrong with getting a towel and wiping the seat of the bike? I mean, it just sounds like politicians in their ivory tower removed from reality, from really hard-pressed taxpayers. What's your take on it, Roisin?
Yeah, I think that is the way it strikes people. And it certainly hit a very raw nerve, I think, with the public in the context of, you know, all the pressures that are on people and this sense that there is about the state not being able to bring in any kind of project on time and on budget. And, you know, whether it's a bike shed or the children's hospital, they don't seem to be able to control prices. And it's this kind of flahoolock attitude that there is. Oh, well, you know, that's the way it is. And especially in relation to the OPW, like they're spending money as if it's, you know, it's certainly not like they'd spend money that's their own. And there doesn't seem to be any controls. So, you know, there should be a system whereby you start off, you get an estimate, you assess the value of that estimate and whether you'll go ahead with the project or not. So you'd have to wonder, did anybody in the OPW look at this and say, hang on, you know, this is far too expensive. Just saying outside there, I saw somebody put up on social media, a company that provides shelters, and they put up one that looks for all the world like the one in Leinster House. They posted that on social media and it was something like €560. Mm. Now,
but you would buy a decent four-bedroom detached house in Wexford for €336,000.
Yeah, but did nobody ask the question?
Yeah.
And I also think, I mean, the minister with responsibility for the OPW, while he should not have his you know, be across every single decision that's taken, but there should be a culture within the OPW that you get value for money.
But
this is taxpayers'
money.
Okay,
so the horse has bolted. What about accountability?
Yeah, well, there has to be accountability at the level of senior officials, but also at the level of ministerial responsibility, because the minister is responsible for creating a culture. And I mean, I heard Patrick O'Donovan talking about this, who was the minister in charge of the OPW at the time. And like it was the Manuel defence. I know nothing like about it. And he made some throwaway comment about putting a plastic bag on the seat of a bike. But like he was responsible at that time for the approach taken by the OPW. And so it's you know, there's two levels of accountability here. There's ministerial that has to, you know, remind people that this is public money. This is the public's money we're talking about. And we have to get value for money. And we have to end this culture within the public service. And it's especially obvious within the OPW that to hell with the price. We get good, you know, good standards, but to hell with what it costs.
Whether accountability, Jim?
Well, listen, it's a ridiculous amount of money. I'm one of the people who cycles into Leinster House pretty frequently. No one ever asked me about it in advance as to whether it's suitable or not, whether it was necessary. Like, if I had to think about what needs to be done around Leinster House, at the very bottom of the list would be we need a sort of a shelter for bicycles. Listen, although it's not, a politician isn't directly responsible for it, it is damaging for politicians in general, because the public just presume these politicians spend vast amounts of money on themselves without consideration for the needs of others, you know. Accountability, like, I think we need to be told what type of estimates were sought, what type of tendering process was gone through. Like, I've seen it as well, as Roisin's mentioned, people have out there said they could do a bicycle shelter for around, you know, €30,000 or something like that. So there's no explanation as to why it's cost so much. People talk about, oh, it's an architecturally important spot. But like, what was the significance?
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
But it was not on the plinth. I thought about that. Like, if there was some heritage corner of Leinster House, you could say, but it's in the Merrion Street side.
I know. It's a side which most of us don't come in, I have to say. Most of us come in the Kildare Street side. But listen, there needs to be some explanation as to what were the other tenders that were put in. I presume it was put out to tender. What were the other tenders put in and why was this tender chosen? I find it hard to believe that there could have been tenders for higher amounts that came in. So it certainly couldn't have been on the basis of cost that they chose this one.
Will there be accountability, Kevin?
It seems unlikely, because the person or persons to be held accountable are faceless, in the sense that someone...
Well, we live in an era of FOIs.
Yeah. And we also live in an era of GDPR. But anyway, but there are... Somebody in the OPW got in quotes, presumably, and looked at them and went, €330,000, yeah, grand. And that's the really troubling bit here, because I can think there's people listening in offices all over the day, over the country, who have perhaps a small bit of control over finances and budget. And I can tell you, if I was in the Indo and I was ordering a box of pens and a stack of notebooks and they came in at €1,000 and someone came and looked at them and went, I can get them down the road in Easton's for about £50, which is, I think, the kind of comparison we're talking about. I can tell you, I'd be hauled up fairly quickly to understand why I did that. And there would be consequences. Now, you might lose your job, but that does need to be consequences and understanding of it's just not acceptable to go, yeah, grand, tick the box, off you go.
But it does seem like when you look, the big ticket item, the National Children's Hospital, this is a cultural issue almost.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's plenty of examples of it in Leinster House before. The printer, obviously, yeah, which ended up didn't fit into the room, and then they had to spend $2,000 a month putting it in storage for a year while they renovated the room. There was the velvet carpets at one stage, yeah, was a big controversy. There was $300,000 spent on one stage getting tailored uniforms for the ushers.
There's
who look very
problem.
Well.
Was there a car park ripped up or something?
Yeah, I mean, there just seems to on and on. And it's an old building and it will always cost extra to do anything with an old building.
The most important point about all of those issues is that nobody is ever held to account for it. The buck doesn't stop with anybody. And that's the problem. And, until it does, things are going to change.
So generally acknowledged that the big ticket issue in terms of policy for the next election is the acute housing shortage, affordability gap, that people on $107,000 can't afford, which is a reasonable household income in five counties. All of this, the figures, Davies, 85,000 now needed a year, the Housing Commission report. So Sinn Féin have come out with a very significant policy document, more than 130 pages. They're promising to spend 4 billion extra from climate and infrastructure funds. They're promising to structurally change things with the LDA. But they've come up principally with this affordable housing policy, which means that you get a service site free, right? And so therefore it'd just be the building cost. And they say they can do it for 250, 300 grand. The catch being that you won't own the land on which it's on, and it can only be resold to people under 90 grand. What do you think of the affordable housing scheme, which is kind of the centrepiece of it? So if you're over 90 grand, you're worse off, you lose Help to Buy and so on. But is it going to be attractive to middle-income people?
Well, Ivan, I think the issue is bigger than just an affordable housing scheme. OK, we need to make housing affordable across the board. We need to drive down the cost of housing. And, you know, the government have been saying, oh, you do that with supply. The kind of supply we've been getting hasn't impacted people who want to buy a house. And if you take the Dublin city area, for example, any of the building there, and everybody talks about units now, any of the building in Dublin city is apartments. Last year, do you know how many houses in total were built in Dublin city? 200.
What do you call the city?
The city, within the city boundary.
Okay.
Okay, Dublin city council area. Were 208 houses built in total last year. Now, you know, our sons and daughters want to buy a house in the main when you want to settle down, if you want to have a family. People want to buy a house. They want to be able to buy, and they haven't been able to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, over 90% of the apartments that are being built cannot be bought either. So, you know, the building that has been going on does not meet local housing need. And that's a major problem. So instead of just talking about an affordable housing scheme, we have to make housing generally affordable to buy or to rent.
Well, now, when you drill into that, because I do work with the CIF, right? And so therefore I'd immediately point to the Clonliffe site. 1,600 units was granted planning permission,
yeah,
by the Board of Planning, by the council. And the courts rule it out because of religious heritage. You couldn't make it up. Like the Croí-Cónaithe scheme gives a subsidy between $25,000 and $140,000 because it is more expensive to build apartments.
Well, I'd say in the Dublin city area, the houses aren't being built.
Right.
And that's one of the problems.
Do you think it's a planning problem or what?
I think there is a major planning problem where the government are insisting on high-rise development. Okay, and maximising the use of sites, which does not meet the needs of people who are looking for houses. First-time buyers in particular. It's fine if you're in your 20s, early 20s, and you want to go independent and you know, you can rent an apartment. The rents are very high, of course. But what people want in the main is to be able to buy a home, and a home that they own. OK, and that hasn't been an option for an awful lot of people because of the lack of availability and because of the high prices. Now, you raised the question of the Sinn Féin proposal. Mm. First of all, there has to be some kind of constraints if the site is being provided free of charge. And, you know, there is a lot of publicly owned land around and we should be building. The Ocúlán model is the absolute model there where you can build a three bedroom house for just over €300,000. A very good three bedroom house that, you know, A-rated and all of that. That's the build cost. And it makes sense to subsidise housing by providing public land. And that's an important thing to do. Of course, there are people doing that, like Ó Cualann, like a lot of approved housing bodies, but they're not being adequately funded by the state. The state is choosing instead to give subsidies to investment funds. And that doesn't make sense.
Dara O'Brien, your party colleague, is minister. And, you know, we're now up to 34,000, 40,000 houses a year, which is an improvement. But has Housing for All run out of road, that it's not enough?
No, I disagree with that, Ivan. I just want to welcome the Sinn Féin policy. I think it's worthwhile putting down a detailed document setting out how they propose to deal with the issues. I think it's flawed, but I do think it illustrates the fact that this is a complex issue. It's not going to be sorted out through sound bites or just political slagging off each other. And the fact that they've come up with a 112-page document, now it's later after the Housing for All document that Dara produced, but it does show there are two contrasting approaches as to how this issue should be dealt with. And it is complex. In terms of the affordable housing scheme, now that's one of the issues I would be concerned about, because obviously people, even if you're purchasing an affordable house, you're going to be dependent upon getting mortgage from financial institution, from the banks. I'm slightly concerned about the fact, is that sort of mortgage going to be provided by a bank? If it's the case that the security is questionable, because obviously the owners will own the property, the house itself, but the state will own the land underneath it. And I just think that could give rise to difficulties in terms of trying to get mortgages from financial institutions, because one thing you can be sure of, they won't lend money unless they have an asset that's secured strenuously. Also, I think there's an issue about the fact that they're taking money away from the Future Ireland Fund and the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund. That there were two funds that were being set up by Michael McGrath for the purpose of preparing for huge challenges that are going to face this country in the future, not just in terms of climate change, but in terms of the ageing population. And I know housing is the central and it's a huge issue, a huge political issue now, but we have to have the foresight to recognise that we will need money set aside in the future, because we won't always be in a situation where we're generating the surpluses the way we are now. So listen, there are issues with it, but at least it does illustrate that there are contrasting and conflicting approaches as to how to solve the housing problem. But even if I was looking at it objectively, which I probably can't because I'm involved in politics so centrally, but if you were to come into this and you see, OK, there's a Housing for All plan which has produced, say, 30,000 units last year. It looks like we're going to get to 40,000 units this year. Like, it's a big thing to decide, OK, let's change tack now. It's working. I know it's not working fast enough, but it's working and we're getting there. An increase in production and supply is coming up and we should stick with that, because if it's working, it just needs to be multiplied more to get more units
built. But we're not
built.
Getting affordability.
Okay. The more supply we get, the more we will get affordability. But look,
where is the
Social Democrat policy in terms of
we have a very detailed policy, and we favour zoning for affordable housing. And the point I've made already, that there are a lot of approved housing bodies who are able to build affordable homes if they are funded. But the government has chosen to go to the for-profit sector to do that.
No, not just that. In terms of social and affordable housing as well, the government
is
putting huge money into it.
We're on the cusp of a major debate about all this, and there will be other... Kevin, you know, Sinn Féin had a setback in the local and European elections. Is this a game changer for them? What do you think?
Well, I'm kind of excited by this, not by the policies per se, but by the fact that we now have a debate, and you're almost seeing it happening in front of us here, Ivan, is that this is the first real move of the election. The Sinn Féin have moved the first piece on the chessboard. They're at, I think, 18% in the latest polls. They've been losing ground on Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. But the latest polls also said that for 6 out of 10 people, housing was the most important topic. So what Sinn Féin have decided is, let's make housing their big topic. We're not winning on immigration. We're not winning on social issues. Let's go back to housing. And the truth is, Fine Gael had a run at it with Owen Murphy and Simon Coveney. Fianna Fáil have had a run at it now. Dara O'Brien obviously criticised them for years from the opposition benches, said he could do it. He's had a run at it now. And Owen O'Brien is basically standing up and going, it's my turn because you haven't done enough to get it. And the affordability is probably going to be the big part of that debate.
Finally, with 3 minutes left, I want to give you a minute each on the scoping inquiry. It seems to me, in terms of sex abuse at schools, post-primary schools and Spiritan and other religious orders, there's three issues here. There's what will the commission produce, what will the Gardaí be able to do, and what's going to happen about redress. What specific you think is the biggest important issue of those three to pursue?
I would expect that from the victim's point of view, there are two issues, and that is justice and redress. And it seems to me that the best way to get justice for serious crimes is through the criminal justice system. Now, some of the perpetrators are deceased. There's a lot of them still alive. They need to be pursued by the Gardaí and they need to be brought to book.
Half of them are deceased of the 800.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them who aren't deceased.
Okay.
There also has to be an examination of corporate liability in relation to the organisations, the congregations who knew all about this. They got all the reports, they have the records, and yet they fail to act. And there has to be liability for that. In relation to redress, look, the government have made a complete mess of this in previous occasions with previous issues. In fact, it wasn't just a mess. Like, they have been cowardly and craven in the way they've handled this. They haven't been prepared to stand up to the Catholic Church and the religious congregations. And we saw that, you know, down through several inquiries.
The Michael Woods deal.
The Michael Woods deal, yeah, being the main one. Secret deal done behind closed doors. This has to be out in the open. There has to be an agreement that the contribution made by the congregations is a percentage of the ultimate cost, not just a once-off, you know, flat figure, because we know that that didn't work on other occasions. And not only that, not only did they get off very, very lightly with Michael Woods, but like they didn't even pay the small amount they were supposed to pay.
Okay, justice
so they need to be legally obliged, and if the congregations don't do that, their assets should be seized.
Justice
will only come through the courts. Commissions of investigations don't provide justice to victims or survivors or come before them. What they do provide, however, is they provide an account of what happened. They're fact-finding bodies. Mary O'Toole recommended that the Commission of Investigation be established to identify the response of the schools and of the authorities to the allegations that were made. Now, that is an interesting point that deserves to be inquired into. We don't know what the issues are in respect of that yet. The facts need to come out from that. So I'd like to see a commission of investigation established. It can't go on the way so many commissions of investigations go on for 7-8 years. So we need to do something to limit it. And that means making decisions which probably may not be popular at the outset, such as saying that we insist upon sampling. We know that every allegation cannot be investigated. And what we want to see is a high-level recognition of what was the response of the schools and the authorities when they became aware of these allegations. In terms of redress as well, Mary O'Toole has been very clear. She said the government needs to give consideration to the establishment of a redress scheme. Obviously, it's the case that the religious orders need to contribute the vast amount of that. But we also need to acknowledge that the state will have some liability, as was recognised by the, or stated by the European Court in the O'Keefe case, because there was a responsibility on the state in terms of children who were in schools and were sexually abused.
What I wanted to ask you, Kevin, is no later than last night, Harris insisted that the election would be in March. Give us a date, in your opinion, with all the data and information crossing your desk, of when the election will be, general election.
I used to think that I had a theory at one stage it would be the last week of October, but I'm now buying into the more popular theory, which is November 15th, there or thereabouts. I think if he goes to March, he deserves to lose it.
Yep. Self-harm. Okay, Roisin Shortall, Jim O'Callaghan and Kevin, you heard there latterly. Thank you very much indeed. A reminder, and sorry, by the way, in relation to that abuse, the 24-hour rape crisis helpline is 1800 77 8888. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.